Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. Episode 40, Human Remains.
John, as your boss, I'm telling you to go home.
I'm fine.
Look, you look like a mummy. You need rest.
Our friends in the hazmat suits gave me a clean bill of health, bloody holes notwithstanding. And they seemed quite keen to quarantine anyone showing even the slightest sign of infection. It's just pain.
The paramedics said your lungs need fresh air. Tim's as well.
It's fresh enough down here.
A basement filled with 1,000 rotting worm carcasses. Surely we could do this in my office.
No. I need to be here. Keep watch. I need to be sure.
John, she's gone. I went with the ECDC people when they took her away. I watched her body burn. Jane Prentice is dead. You can relax.
You know why I can't. When Martin found...
That's a matter for the police.
Fine. Fine. I'll go home as soon as I have everyone's statements.
Very well.
Statement of Elias Bouchard, head of the Magnus Institute, regarding the infestation by the entity formerly known as Jane Prentice. Statement recorded direct from subject, 29th July, 2016. Whenever you're ready.
There isn't a lot to tell for my part. This afternoon, just after lunch, I was going over some budgets in my office as I normally do on a Tuesday when the fire alarm started going off. It was annoying, but not too worrying at first. I packed my work away and began to calmly head towards the evacuation point when Sasha came barreling through the door, babbling about worms and clutching a tape recorder. I told her that whatever was wrong should wait until we were out of the building, as there may be a fire. She told me she had set off the fire alarm to get everyone out, and that you and Martin and Tim were currently trapped by Jane Prentice. Obviously, this got my attention, and I suggested she turn the tape recorder on, largely so this sort of debrief wouldn't be necessary. Did you not get the tapes?
No, there was some sort of problem. Sasha told me the tape was lost.
Well, I explained to her about the recently installed fire suppression system and said that as there was no actual fire, we'd need to activate it manually. We hurried down and it was clear everyone else had already evacuated. We had reached the ground floor when... Well... I know I have often seemed dismissive of your concerns before, and in fact, I was getting ready to raise the issue of Martin's continuing to live in the Institute's basement, especially as I believe he's been stealing fire extinguishers. But honestly, I didn't fully appreciate what you've been talking about until I turned that corner and we saw what I can only describe as a tidal wave of filth rushing towards us. I feel somewhat ashamed to admit I didn't really pay any attention to Sasha as I ran and must have lost her at some point. We became separated. I composed myself and decided on a more roundabout route to the boiler room. Luckily, it seemed the things were mainly concentrated in that one mass, leaving the other corridors largely vacant. It took me 10 minutes, maybe 15, but I made it with only one close call. The sight of rows and rows of huge red CO2 canisters was certainly something of a comfort. I do apologize that it took me quite so long to figure out how to actually work the system. If I'd been quicker...
It's fine. We're alive.
Yes, well... I turned on the fire suppression system and... That's when I heard the scream. I can't really describe it, but... Well, I'm sure I don't need to. You were a lot closer to it than I was.
The last thing I remember before blacking out. Tens of thousands of things without mouths screaming as one.
Yes. Horrible sound. Anyway, I called the fire department, ambulance, and a contact at the ECDC who had previously been involved in the Prentice investigation. Once I was sure most of the gas would have dissipated, I headed down to the archives to see what had happened. Sasha was already there, but you and Tim were in a bad shape. It looked like a few dozen worms had been going into each of you when the carbon dioxide killed them. Bloody sausage.
Yes. Thank you. I remember everything from when the ambulance arrived. Quarantine, bandaging, etc. When did Martin get back?
It was about an hour after they'd taken you and Tim away. They were prepping Prentice's corpse for disposal when Martin burst out of that trap door you found, screaming that he'd found a body. So we called the police.
Tell me what happened to Gertrude Robinson.
John, how many times do we need to go over this?
We've never got it on tape.
You can barely stand. Just why don't we do this tomorrow? Fine. On the 15th of March last year, I had a query about a statement one of our researchers was after and went down to the archives. Gertrude wasn't there, but her desk was covered in blood. I called the police and there was a huge search, but there was no sign of Gertrude, alive or dead. She didn't have any assistants, so there were no witnesses, and no one saw or heard anything. The police tested the blood and confirmed the DNA match to Gertrude, though I don't know why they had her on file. They judged there to be almost a gallon of blood spilled, far more than the human body can lose and survive, so I assume she was dead and left the investigation to the police for all that good it did me. And I appoint another archivist. Martin finding her body in the tunnels is as much a mystery to me as it is to you.
Right. Right. Thank you, Elias. Statement ends. Can you send in Tim?
Do you need much? I'd really like to go home.
I sympathize. It won't take more than a few minutes. I need the parts that weren't on tape at the time.
Sure. Just quarantine, you know. Not as much fun as it sounds.
You were certainly in there longer than I was. Everything all right?
Yeah. I just made some joke about itching and suddenly they were doing a whole bunch more tests.
Well, itching is one of...
I know. I was trying to lighten the mood. I'm fine, though. Except for the holes. And the pain. And the blood. And the nightmares. Could have been worse, though, eh? Another couple of minutes and...
Yes. Yes. Anyway, statement of Timothy Stoker, archival assistant at the Magnus Institute regarding the infestation by the entity formerly known as Jane Prentice. Statement recorded direct from subject, 29th July, 2016. Just take it from when you got back from lunch.
Well, I could tell something was wrong as soon as I got back. It was quiet. I mean, it's normally quiet, but it was dead quiet. I spotted the tape recorder lying on the ground and went over to see if it was damaged. And as I was checking it, I heard Sasha shouting. It's a bit of a blur, to be honest, because when I turned around, there she was. Prentice. Her face so full of holes, it's like my eyes are up here, but they're not, you know? They're just... She tried to say something, but I don't. Couldn't really understand her through all the... So, I could see the worms were coming through the floor, the walls everywhere, the whole we're safe inside the archive thing? Not so much. I don't know what I was going to do. I think I was going to try and hit her, but that's when Sasha knocked me to the floor. It was a good move, actually. Prentice didn't seem to expect it, and we crushed a lot of worms when we fell. They were slow to react, and we were running before they really went for us. I mean, all this happened in the space of a few seconds, so I'm not exactly certain. Sasha had to basically drag me behind her. I saw the shelf in front of us was about to topple. There were so many worms on it, so being the hero I am, I let go of her hand and told her to go get help. She made it out of the main door. I turned to run into the office. I was just trying to get a door between me and Prentice. I didn't know that's where you made the first hole. There were loads of them. Some jumped at me as I ran inside, so I dodged out of the way, but ended up sprawling into this pile of boxes that I thought were case files. Instead, I found myself lying on top of a whole bunch of CO2 canisters, which are damn hard, by the way. The worms were still coming, so I used them. I went full gas Rambo. After that, my memory gets a bit fuzzy. I think the paramedic called it respiratory acidosis, from breathing in all the carbon dioxide rather than your more traditional oxygen. I remember finishing the first few extinguishers, killing the things, but they kept coming, so I grabbed a few more and saw the massive hole in the wall. There didn't seem much point in staying, so I went into the tunnels. They were cold, dry. You know that worm smell, that earthy, rotten smell?
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah. There weren't so many down there. I think they were almost all in the archives. I have a theory, actually. I think they weren't ready to attack when you found the tunnels. It's like something in the Institute slows them down and makes them, sluggish. And that noise they make, that squirming sound, they don't make it when they're in the tunnels. I don't know why. It was only when they came into the Institute, maybe the light or the aircon or something, I'm not sure, but I think it made them weaker, and they've been down there for months, breeding, building up their numbers until there were enough to properly bury us. Except you found that hidden passage, and they had to act.
Maybe. Could you describe the tunnels?
You were there.
Humor me.
I remember they sloped down and up and around. I couldn't keep track of where I was. I did see some more worms, though. They were fast. I only saw a couple, but it was still proper jump scare territory. I got them, though. It was really surreal. I only had my phone's torch, and it was hard to keep an eye out. I was so lightheaded. I wandered for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes before I found a wall that seemed different. Looked like someone had just put some plasterboard over an entrance. And I could hear you and Martin on the other side. I broke through, and, well, you were there for the rest.
Quite. You weren't there when Martin found the body, though, were you?
No. I was quarantined, same as you.
And you didn't see it in the tunnels when you were first exploring?
No. I did see... I mean, maybe...
What?
No,